In TTP program, we spent about 3 weeks just to study these books, and we got only 8 sections over here. So I just hope that you get an idea of Book of Job and you can enjoy reading it all by yourself. Hope these classes can, you know, make you feel more interesting to read the Book of Job. And I am sorry to say that we are going to have a test on Book of Job too. The test will be based on the lecture notes. Now, for example, how do you overcome Satan? Right? Oh, for sure, this will be... I think this is very important. And besides the lecture notes, I also give you 3 other points, right? Besides how our Job overcome Satan, I also give you 3 other points. Resist him with faith, right? Using fasting prayers. And then do not leave rooms for Satan. No, this is not in the lecture notes. But so in your classes, probably if you see something different, you want to write down on your note. No? And this section will focus on Job's 3 friends. Job's 3 friends. Let's turn to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Verse 11. Job 2:11. Mike from Northridge. Continue reading.
Chapter 12, when they saw him, and verse 12, when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes, sprinkled dust on their heads. Verse 13, when they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, no one said a word to him because they saw how great he was suffering.
Amen. Oh. So you can see how great love the 3 friends has demonstrated to Job, right? If you put it on a play, right? They see from afar, what do they do? They cannot recognize him, right? Not only they are close to one another, then they cannot recognize him. Far away, they was not able to recognize them. And they lift up their voice, my friend Job, so come, you are so beautiful. Something like that, right? It's like very, very sad. And they tone their clothing and, you know, mourn with them. And they sit with him for how many days and nights? 7 days and 7 nights. Do you think they eat? I don't know, huh? The Bible didn't say. But maybe, you know, they mourn and maybe, you know, feel sad for him for 7 days and 7 nights. This is something, if you compare what Job have said by himself. Michael, would you please continue reading chapter 19? Job 19. Give me a second. 13. Amen. That's good enough. Huh? You can see that almost all the beloved ones of Job despise him. Even the wife do not like the smells of his mouth. If you fast for 3 days and 3 nights, huh? And you talk to your friends, huh? Your smells is not too good too. Because it's not from your mouth, it's from your internal organ, you know. Internal organ produce some bad smelling. Well, this is very natural stuff. Therefore, his wife don't like it, and the maid servants don't mind him anymore. All those who are close to him, even the relatives, friends, separated. But in this kind of situation, for second time, these 3 friends come over, sitting down there for 7 days and seven nights. So first of all, we got to see that their heart is really good hearts. They really got a very good heart. If you have friends like this, I'm telling you, my brother and sister, you are lucky. Especially those three friends are older than Job, not younger. Oh. So you can see Job's dad was a very wonderful person, honorable, and make good friends. So please try to make some good friends. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Oh. So we can see how nice are those friends are. If you read at page 39, 3.5.1, you can see that after Job broke a weekend-long light silence with his outcry of anguish, his three companions felt compelled to speak, shocked at his desire for death. They took on themselves the responsibility of correcting Job for his brash remarks. So after 7 days, right, Job started to complain about his birth. Because he figured out, his friend is so nice to him, right? Now he wants to utter his mourning, his sadness. But he keep, you know, complain about his birth, curse his birth. Then his friend feel like, we have the responsibility to correct Job. Therefore, they take turns to say to say words to Job, and Job take turn to answer them too. Oh. 3.5.3. Throughout their speeches, their friends remain adamant in their theological position. Their view was that the righteous person was rewarded and the unrighteousness punished. Therefore, Job have willingly sinned, needed to repent. So their logic is very simple. All suffering was punished of sin. All suffering is from sin. Job suffered. So, Job sinned. That is all their proclamation throughout the conversation. I'd like to invite four brothers and sisters to come up to demo their conversation using nowadays languages. So you get a feeling of how was the conversation. But before we do that, please turn to page 40. Let me introduce these three friends to you. First friends, his name is Eliphaz. How do you pronounce it? Eliphaz. 3.5.9.1 means that God is refined gold, or God gives mercies. He was the first speakers. His words is more logical. He continued to urge Job to repent, even though other friends didn't totally forget about urge Job to repent. And therefore, when you read Job 42, Eliphaz was the one that God talked to. God even do not mind about the other two friends. Okay? God only talked to Eliphaz. And the second friend's name is Bildad. It means that it is the son of dispute. And he loved to argue and accuse Job of being a godless person. And third person is Zophar. He was very rude. His name means rude. He ran out of words first. Remember I talked about there are three rounds of conversation? In the last rounds, he was not able to say anything. After you listening to the conversation, please share your feeling about their counseling. How do you feel about their counseling? Now shall we invite four brothers come up? I want you to pay attention to the first round. The accusation is kind of light or hindered, but it's more aggressive, round after round. Brothers, would you please come up? Can we have this microphone on, please? Okay. Let me introduce you. This is Eliphaz, the first man. Supposed to be very old, but he's quite young. This is Builder. This is Verzu plus Verzu. So that's the first one. Oh, there's no sound.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. No sound. Maybe we share one microphone.
I had a vision one night. A spirit came in my presence, and it scared me almost to death. It said to me, "Can anyone be more righteous than God? We all have sin. How can one say that they are more righteous than God?" After that, it left me. Then I realized what you should do. If I were you, I'd pray to God and ask him for forgiveness, because usually those who have sinned have suffered.
If I could only weigh my sufferings on a scale, it would outweigh the heaviest man on earth. It's as if God shoots arrows in my heart and he forces upon me poison to drink. My sufferings are without end. I will continue to speak from the anguish from my spirit. Why has God made me his target?
How long will you keep on saying these things? Ask our ancestors, and they will tell you but one thing. God does not reject the blameless man. Like grass without water or an uprooted plant, man withers away without God. So look to God and become pure and upright, and God will restore you to your rightful place.
I hate my life. I will rant on and on about my bitterness and sufferings. I will boldly ask God, "Why do you challenge me? Do you smile at the fact that you oppress your creation? Do you not have eyes? Can you not see the fact that I have no fault and that no one can save me from your hands?"
You dumb and ignorant person, yeah. Why do you think you're smart like that? Why would you think you're smarter than God? Maybe you should just think about sinning less. Then you wouldn't be in all this trouble.
I'm a laughingstock to all people, and you liars, you incompetent medical students, you would seem a lot smarter if you only kept your mouth shut. Hear now my reasoning and listen to my heart cry.
Okay, this is first round. What is his name? Sova is really quite rude, isn't it? And you can see that Eliphaz was based on a vision. All his conversation was based on a vision. And Bildad, he talked by the previous experiences, right? If you hear carefully, the ancestors, what the ancestors have told us. So this happened based on a vision, based on history, past experiences, and based on nothing. Okay? That's the second round.
You claim that you're a righteous man? That is impossible. Every man who comes out of a woman has sinned. And how can you say that you do not have sin? If God can't even trust his own saints or considers heaven impure, how can you claim to be righteous? My question to you is, did you sin?
I have heard all these things before, and still they bring me no comfort. God has worn me out. My spirit is broken. He has made me one of the worst. He has made the worst sinner spit on my face. The pit is my father, and the worms are my mother. Oh God, where is my hope? My hope goes down with me to hell.
Why do you speak to us as though we are stupid cows? Come, let us be sensible, so we can talk. Has not the wicked always perished? Their lives are snuffed out like lamps in the dark. Strangled by their own schemes, disasters fall upon them one after another. The skin of the wicked man is eaten away, and his arms and legs rot away. Fire burned down his house, and he loses all his children, and he is driven from light into darkness, and is forever banished from the world. Surely this is the outcome of those who do not know God.
How long are you going to torture me with your searing words? Do you not feel shame for falsely accusing me over 10 times? And even if I have sinned, that's my own business. If you do insist on gloating in my face and humiliating me, know that God has wronged me.
You think we're dumb or something, huh? And we can't see the problem there? Do you think we're that stupid? I still remember how it was back in the days. The rich had so much money and never shared, like some certain person I knew. And being that kind of person, God hates and spites. Shoo, why do you think you're in this mess now?
Listen carefully to what I have to say. Why do the wicked still grow old and become mighty and strong? Their houses are safe and their children are prosperous. They rejoice, sing, and dance, and yet they all still mock God, asking, who is God? Why should we serve him? How can you comfort me with your vain words when you still speak lies?
So I just want you to pay attention to the progressings. Now, third round is really open accusation. Huh?
How do you call yourself honorable? You've taken away all that belongs to your brother for false charities. You did not give water and bread to the needy. You did not even help widows or orphans, leaving them with crushed spirits. And yet you call yourself righteous and honorable? My conclusion is that you must have sinned.
My complaint today is bitter. Oh, that I could sit in front of my God and argue my case before him. Yet I go forward and he's not there. I go backwards, left and right, and still he's not there. I have kept his commands, and I have not gone astray. But who can change what he does? He will do what he will do what he wills. Therefore, I am afraid in his presence.
God, who established the heavens, is so great and awesome. When even the moons and stars are not pure enough for him, how dare you say that you are righteous before him? As man, you are nothing but a worm, a maggot.
How have you helped those who are weak, or helped those who have no power, no wisdom, or those who needed advice? As long as I have breath, I will not speak any wickedness. I will uphold my integrity until death. Oh, how I long for those days when God shielded me, and when his light was over my path, when my children were still with me, when my feet were bathed in milk, and oil poured out of my faucet. Young and old respected me in my presence, and dared not to speak. When people heard me or saw me, they nodded in approval. For I fed orphans in Africa for a mere 20 cents a day. And I helped the blind by the hand and carried the lame and signed for the deaf. I policed the land and gave justice to the needy. I thought I would continue to prosper and prosper. To everyone my words had weight. They waited and listened and digested my words, and I comforted all those who came to me. I vowed never again to look at hot young ladies. And what do I get from God? I thought disaster and punishment were for the sinful. Doesn't he know all that I have done? I am righteous. If I lie, and if I am quick to run to evil, if I have veered off the path, if I did everything according to what felt right at the time, then surely let me perish. If I had an affair with another woman, then let my wife do likewise. For that is a severe sin. If the poor, orphaned, widow were not comforted by my hands, or the needy not given food or clothing, then pull my arm off, because I feared God. If my bank account and riches were my idol, and I prided myself in the riches I acquired, then surely let me be punished by God. If I had laughed at my enemies in suffering, or had ever cursed them, or had ever hid my sin like Adam, because of fear of my shame, then this is what I have to say. God, answer me and show me my wrongs, and write them down in a book. I will strap it to my shoulder, or even wear it like a crown. I will tell him all I have done.
And the third one has nothing to say, right? Oh, okay. Thank you very much. So you can get a feeling of how the conversation is, and hopefully you can read it again by yourself. Can you see that at the very beginning, friends keep talking, and at the very end, friends' words are getting fewer and fewer, right? You notice that? You can see that as if Job is getting better and better, so he has more strength to talk and talk. But as a matter of fact, that's how Job defends for himself. Because he was a righteous person, and you can see that from the speeches, you can see that the righteous is from his clear conscience. He did not really do anything wrong. The Lord commanded three times, he is my servant. Job is my servant. Therefore, he did nothing wrong. Therefore, he speaks with strength, even though he could be in a very painful situation. Now, would you please comment it after you watching this? How is their counseling? How is the friend's counseling? Anybody want to comment it? They were too harsh, yes? They make the conclusion before they realize that Job indeed took good care of the babies in Africa. Huh? What else? Yes? It wasn't objective. It's all with buyers. Huh? They only have one concept in their mind. What else? Brother's eyes. What else? After you hear this conversation. We don't have too much time, huh? But let us read through page 41. 3.5.11.3. However, they failed to do the following in their counseling. Huh? They did not express any sympathy for Job in their speeches. They did not pray for him, even though Job prayed for them. They simply ignored Job's expression of emotional and physical agony. They spoke too much and listened too little to their advice. They blamed defensively. They belittled rather than encouraged. They assumed that they knew the cause of Job's problem. They stubbornly persist in their views of Job's problem. They suggest inappropriate solutions. They blame Job and condemn him for expressing grief and frustration. So this is something for your references. So when we go to counsel other people, visit our friends, we have to pay attention to this kind of mistakes. Yesterday, there was a question in the Q&A, right? It says that when you visit friends, what should you do, right? Remember that? Right? I don't know who raised that question. Huh? So make sure when you visit friends, do not act it as if our Job's friends. Hey! You must have seen, that's what you did, lie down over here in the bed, you know. Look at me, I'm healthy, I'm sinless, and you don't have faith, you know. You don't go to church on Saturday. Tell you what, next time you come to church on Saturday, okay? If you do like that, we are falling into the same situation like Job. So, we got to be very kind. In theological school, a student shared once of his experiences in visitation. Says that when we go to hospital visit people, you don't need to talk too much. Maybe you just hold on his hand or her hand. Of course, it is not young ladies like your age, right? Like all grandmother, all grandfather, just hold his hands. Maybe say a prayer with him, or you tell him that I'm going to pray for you in spirit. May the Lord continue to guide you and bless you. That'd be good enough. You don't have to tell, you know, you don't have faith, you don't come to church, you know, that kind of stuff. Of course, it could be one of the reasons, remember that. It could be one of the reasons that people might sin, therefore they suffer, but it could be only one. We are not them. It is for them to exempt themselves. It's not for us to criticize them. We might want to remind them, but in a way that is acceptable. For sure, it was not acceptable to Job in this case. Once upon a time, there was a truth seeker coming to our services. Nobody paid attention to him. But there was a worker of God come to him and, you know, welcome him and pat on his shoulder. The worker did not say too much. 1 month later, the worker received a letter from the truth seeker. He said, I really thank God that I come to your church. Before I come to church, I thought that I was totally forgotten by God. My wife just left me. My children got ill. And I have great financial difficulties. I thought nobody really cared. Even though I'm a stranger, sitting in among you, but when you come over, pat my shoulders, I feel like as if God comes to me, try to tell me that I do concerned. You are my children. I do love you. So that is the feeling that he have when he come in among the church. So brother and sister, how to show your concern so it's more acceptable? Show the love to our brothers and sisters. That is acceptable. It's very important among the Church of God. Very important. Okay, let's turn to page 42. We want to share, talk about more concerning their basis. Again, Zophar is a very rude person. He only expresses anger and his emotion. If you ever been to an army, right? The army usually we call it Laoa, you know. Laoa, what does it mean by Laoa? Means that a kind of old soldiers and they don't care. No sense of feeling, they don't care. He's that kind of person. Just for criticism to criticize. The purpose to speak is for the criticism. That's how he was. Sometimes we might fall into this category, especially if a prejudice and bias beforehand. Imagine that you are in among the court of Pilate, and all the people are shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And maybe you are one among them, and you just want to shout with a lot of people because at that time emotion is so great, right? It's wonderful simply to shout out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For criticism, then you simply criticize. That might lead you to the wrong direction. Bias is no good. Bias. Sometimes we make mistakes. Prejudice. We went to Kenya this January. Before we went to Kenya, we have an impression. According to statistics, if white persons travel alone in Africa, they will always get robbed. Okay? What does it mean? When you travel in Africa, you always need a native people to accompany you. Therefore, you have more safety. So when we first arrived in Kenya, our brother happened not showing up in the airport, right? So we are kind of, nervous, right? This is a black society. We do not know what to do. And suddenly there was a woman come over, telling us, I'm a Christian. I'm very nice, You just take my taxis. I'll take you to your hotel or to your designated locations, right? And we keep pondering. We want to ignore her, We are strangers, and we overheard that Kenya people over here, I'm afraid of them, just period. Afraid of you. I do not know you. I'm afraid, period. That's about it, right? But he keep saying that, don't worry, I'm a good person, right? The more you say you are a good person, the more I'm afraid, but later on, she suddenly say, if you do not trust me, it's okay. I'm a Christian. I have strong love. This is a quarter over here. Why don't you use my quarter and make a phone call to your friends? Maybe your friends come to receive you. We're still suspicious, right? Wow. There are people like this, right? Okay. Then Pastor Liang is more brave. He said, okay. So he took the coin and make a phone call. And then our brother indeed forget about us at all. He totally forget about us that coming in at that particular day. We call him and he come in to fetch us. Then we ask the brothers, our church brothers, do you think the woman, the taxis in the airport is reliable? The brothers say, oh, of course, they are reliable. They belong to this company belongs to the airport. It's official taxis company, run, controlled by government, so they are okay. So we feel very shameful. We have a prejudice. Even though she won't help us with a coin, I still feel very unsafe. I don't know what kind of trick she might have. So usually when we have prejudice, we might judge wrongly. And this is exactly the situation of Zophar. I guess our attitude is okay. We are not as rude. We are politely rejected. But Zophar was too rude. Bildad was based on experiences. Maybe we shall attend to these verses so you can understand what I'm talking about. Chapter 8, verse 8 to 10. Job 8. Job 8, 8 to 10. Shall we have Brother Michael? Brother Michael from Garden Grove. We all call the name of Michael this section. Brother Michael from Garden Grove. Oh, it's not Michael. I'm sorry. It's Andrew. Your father is Michael. Brother Andrew. Sorry. Do we have other Michaels? Only one Michael here? Huh? Oh yeah, Michael, yeah, Garden Grove, that's right, Michael, I'm sorry. Brother Michael, verse 8. Amen. So basically, Bildad was saying that, Job, listen, if Socrates is alive today, okay, if Confucius is alive today, he's going to tell you that you are a sinner. We were born just yesterday, okay, we are born just recently. But look at the history, look at the experiences, look at the former fathers. They tell us that all the suffering comes from sin. You suffer, therefore you sin. This is basically Bildad understanding. Experiences indeed help. That's why you go to school. That's why you want to learn whatever has been discovered by our previous generation. But guess what? Experience is not correct all the time. We already share with you. Without the story of Job, we will never be able to understand why Jesus have to suffer. Right? If Job did not suffer because of his righteousness, we cannot understand that Jesus was righteous. Yes, he got to suffer. So, yes, indeed, experiences and history sometimes is okay, but it could be misleading sometimes too. That's why Nathaniel, when his friend come to Nathaniel, said, Nathaniel, we found the Savior. What does Nathaniel answer? Huh? Can anything good come out of where? Nazareth, impossible. According to history, there's no prophet come from Nazareth. Impossible. So Nathaniel almost missed the salvation of Jesus by his previous experiences. Again, Jews did not understand Jesus Christ because of their previous experiences too. They don't believe that, Savior will come from a little town like that. So experiences sometimes won't work. When I first came to the United States, I have trouble to go to, maybe I share this with, I have trouble to go to the restroom. I still remember the first day when I was in the airplane, right? I try to remember the word laboratory. But it's so long, right? A vocabulary is so long, so hard to remember, right? I come to the United States. One day I was walking on the street. I want to find a restroom. And I cannot know how to say laboratory. I don't know if the restroom is called restroom at that time, because I never imagined that you can go there to rest. It's impossible. You are going to rest inside there, right? So I did not know. And I used my past experience. What do you say go to bathroom in Taiwan? We say go to E-hao, right? E-hao, right? If you come and tell them, you know that, right? So I ask people, hey, mister, where's number one? And they don't understand what I'm talking about. They are very confused by what I say. I say, okay, how about number two? Where's number two? They still don't understand. So I really have trouble at that time. I have to show them what I'm doing, you know, use my actions to show them. So what I'm trying to say is that past experiences, Taiwan's experience may not be work in U.S. Huh? Our previous experiences may not be working in current days. Huh? This is Builder's mistakes. And Eliphaz is quite logical, but his problem is that all he's saying was based on a vision. Let's read chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. Should we have any Michael here? Any other Michael? No more. David. Any David here? David from Queens. I know that's David. David from Queens, 4:12-17. Okay, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? This is the vision he saw. And all his conversation was based on this point. Huh? Let's turn to 15:8. 15:8. Jeffrey. 15:8. Jeffrey, Garden Grove. Jump to 14. Oh, this is very very serious saying too. It's all based on the visions. If you turn back, you also turn back to the previous verse. It also says, chapter 4, verse 18, he puts no trust in his servants and he charged his angels with arrows. The same saying, 22 verse 3. Jeffrey, 22 verse 3. Okay, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? So he was basically saying the same thing. Man is not righteous at all in the eyes of God. First of all, the visions that Eliphaz saw for sure is not from God. For sure it's not from God. This dream is not from God. How do you know that if your dream is not from God? Why human beings have a dream? There are several reasons the Bible tell us that. Why human beings might have a dream? First of all, the Bible tells us that if you have much business to do, many business to do in your life, you might have a lot of dreams. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3. Let's talk about dream right now because Eliphaz have a dream. Ezekiel 5:3. Why do you have a dream? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3. Can Qingyun, would you please read? Qingyun, do you have English name? No. Do you know what a Qingyun mean? What does it mean? Clear top. There's a psalm. Qingyun. 青云有什么? 青云有路,至为梯. Do you understand what does it mean? Okay, I'll talk to you later. Sorry. Ecclesiastes 5:3, please read. For For a dream comes through much activities. So brother and sister, if you have a lot of dreams, right, that might mean that you have too much activities at daytime. Oh. Subconsciously, you are still thinking about it. I remember that I had a dream, huh? When I was a little boy, suddenly I feel a frog crying in among the bush, right? Frog. Frog. How does frog cry? Quack, 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 something like that, right? I was very curious. I tried to look for the frog, right? And I tried to, you know, search for the frog. But I did not see the frog. I saw a snake dash out to me. I was running like with my little feet. Oh, running so fast. I'm afraid that the snake might catch up on me, right? After that event, right? A lot of nights, I have nightmares. Always a snake running after me. Huh? But I guess, you can interpret it as Satan. But I think sometimes much activities might cause a lot of dreams too. But those kind of dreams, 5-7 talk to us. Continue reading, Qingyun. 5-7, Ecclesiastes. 5-7. In multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. Meaning that a lot of dreams you have, right, may not have any significance at all. In Taiwanese, we call it like chua liu bang, you know. Before you want to go up to the bathroom, you had a dream. So called chua liu, right? This is no meaning at all. Because simply you have too much activities. So do not try to interpret all your dreams. Some of them may not be of any meaning. Secondly, when a person got ill, he might have a lot of dreams. Job chapter 7. Job 7, verse 13. Huh? Daniel from Garden Grove. Now he's from Elizabeth. Continue reading. I think that's good enough. Huh? So when Job was in great suffering, he says that he cannot fall asleep because vision and dreams keep come to bother him. Huh? So when you visit a sick person, you have to pay attention to this. Huh? Not everybody have nightmare, but some does have nightmare, like Job has nightmare. Like I want to share with Sambalis. You hear Sambalis' testimony, right? He talked to me personally. He says that at the first 3 days of his illness, right, if you go to visit him, his eyes is what? Swollen. Eyes is swollen. You know why? He says, because he dare not to close his eyes. He said, whenever he closes his eyes, he see a gigantic, you know, a Satan come to try to catch him to go to hell. Something like that. Nightmare. A lot of nightmare. Oh. So that's why he dare not to close his eyes. This could be very, very true to some of some who got sick, huh? And third point, you just saw it already. Eliphaz have a vision, dream, or nightmare from Satan. So sometimes when you sleep, you might have a dream or vision, and this dream or vision could be from Satan too. How does Eliphaz feel? You feel very chilly. You feel like you're here standing up. The most important point we can see that this is from Satan is that those words are trying to attack people, right? Those words are trying to attack Job's. That's why we know that this is for sure from Satan. So, brother and sister, for example, if one night you dream of me, right? And I wear black clothing, right? Standing in the chapel, right? Trying to preach, right? Then you talk to the whole congregation. Brother Huang have sinned already. He must have committed adultery. You know, in my dream, I saw him white black. His face is black. His feet is black. His hands is black. Everything black. So he's sinned already. If you have this kind of dream, what are you going to do? Huh? Pray. What else? What do you do? Huh? Cast out Satan. What else? Huh? Forget about it. Okay? You know what? This dream could be true too. I could have seen already. But you never know before it become true. Right? It may be, in this example, Satan used a dream to strike down Job. Okay? This is for sure. But in some case, Satan might reveal a secret of the other person to us too. And want to use your mouth to make the church become turmoil. You know what I'm trying to say? Before some of our holy workers fall, in one of the NLM, right, a sister was sitting over here. After a prayer, she came to me. She said, "Brother, I had a dream. One of the workers failed." I say, "Shut your mouth up. Keep your mouth. It's okay, you have this dream, but we never know what's going on. How do you know this dream is going to come true? Do not try to disturb the church with your own vision. You know what I'm going to say? Keep it to yourself. But you got to share with worker. You got to share with worker. But do not make it a rumors. Maybe it's not right. Maybe it's right. Nobody know. Like this dream, we are able to distinguish. But even Eliphaz was tricked. Huh? So in case like this, if I were you, I will keep it to myself. Or I will share with a church worker, maybe GA. Or maybe you know, pastor. Someone you can trust. But of course, they will all keep it quiet. And they will investigate. And there are things will come out, if it's true or not true. But you never know. But for sure, if it is from Satan, you feel scared. It is from God. Usually it is bright, it is warm, it is clear. Okay? And it is trying to edify people. It is from Satan. It's chilly. It wants to damage the whole church. Oh. No matter it is from Satan, it is from God. Sometimes they might reveal the same thing. Because Satan knows something beforehand too. Oh, no, not beforehand. Knows something that already occurred too. Oh. So you gotta be aware of this. Huh? But of course, sometimes God uses dreams. Sometimes our dreams may come from God too. Can anyone give me examples? Your dream may come from God. Anyone? Huh? When Peter received Holy Spirit, he stood up, right? In the last days, your young man is going to have what? Your old man is going to have what? Dreams and visions, right? So today, a lot of times, we might have dreams, good dreams. That is to encourage you or encourage the church. Could be very encouraging. Dreams of visions. Like for example, last week in Irvine Church, a truth seeker was praying, right? Suddenly you feel like a shadow is like a dove coming down. And then later on, you notice that it's not only a shadow, it's really a white dove. And the wind was flipping. Flapping. Not flipping. Flapping. Flip flap. What is flip flap? Turn upside down. Yeah. Flapping. Okay, flapping. Whatever. The harder she prayed, the stronger the flap is. And then, as she's going to conclude the prayer, she noticed that slowing down. After the prayer, we have him singing, right? Right? Fuku, right? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, right? And then you can see that the birds are slowly and slowly flying away. So this vision is to encourage her. Okay? Just give you one more. Everything that encourage you could be from God. Just give you a very personal testimony. You notice that my hair is getting wider and wider, right? I am A-type person. I am more like a lot of, you know, sometimes I fall into a lot of temptation or worriness, you know. I worry this, I worry that, I worry that you don't fall asleep at nighttime. I worry that you don't observe the rules and regulations. I worry that, you know, you don't pray hard. You know, a lot of worries, right? So please do not make my hair more white, huh? But it's my problem, it's not your problem. Because I don't have faith, huh? I don't have faith, it's not you. Anyway, side story. Okay, let me finish this, then we have prayer. One night, I was very nervous in preaching too, to a point that I cannot preach anymore, because whenever I stand on a podium, I got a stomach ache, you know? Especially when I go to Garden Grove Church, right? Garden Grove Church at that time was the number one church in the USA, you know why? At that time, because GA was there. So a lot of GA worker was there watching you giving a speech, you know? So whenever I speak over there, you know, stomach ache, you know? One night, I was sleeping, lying on a table. In Garden Grove, we don't have, you know, it's very simple. We just have a children's table to put together, become our bed, you know, and I sleep over there. Sleeping bag under, sleeping bag above. Can I fall asleep about 2, 3 o'clock? Because I was preparing the sermon. And then I fall asleep. Then I had a dream, okay? The dream brought me back to my hometown. I was delivering rice. In the ancient time, rice was read by a big mabu. Sackcloth, right? Sackcloth. Rabbit, big one, right? About 50 kg, huh? About three babies, weight. Carry it, right? And try to deliver house to house. So heavy, and sweats, and worry, and guess what? I forgot about the address. Where to send it to? Forget about the address. Very nervous, right? And suddenly I saw my father riding a bike, trotting a bike. In the ancient time, the back of the bike, you can take people's. Okay? Not like nowadays. If you go to Africa, you'll find the similar bikes too. Okay? And my father stepped over. My father looked at me and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I don't know where I'm going. I need to deliver rice." He said, "Don't worry, just hop on. I will take you to the place." Okay, so I hop on, and the dream, I was awakened by the dream. So it was a really a great comfort to me from the Lord. The Lord was trying to teach me that, don't worry, just hop on. Just rely on the Lord. The Lord knows the place to deliver. He will for sure help you with your missionary. So you know, God's visions, dreams, sometimes given to you, to me, to comfort me, to help us. So dreams can come from all kinds of places. We should be very, very careful. Okay.